We've talked about a lot of different fights in this series. We've talked about our vocational challenges, our relational issues, talked about financial situations, personal and spiritual struggles. And the circumstances differ for all of us. But the fact is, it's a fight. It's a fight. It is a fight that's going to end one of three ways. One, we will quit, throw in the towel. We may take a beating and actually lose the fight. Or you can take some serious punches, but you go the distance and you walk away with the victory. Today, what I want to do to close this series out is I want to focus on pre-fight routine that we need to have. Whether you're fighting a situation or a temptation or sin, in every fight, I believe there comes a point where you get discouraged, where you kind of hit that despair, or you begin to battle with doubts. And there are things that we all can do as Christians so that when we enter the ring, we're prepared. And Paul's going to teach us some of those things of how to prepare for the fight that we're in. One, you never enter a fight without preparing for the fight. Paul writes this in Ephesians. He says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all the God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Ever since Adam and Eve, we talked about this, our first message, that ever since their disobedience, ever since they got thrown out of the garden, we have been facing problems. The fact is, not only did that sin leave this world broken, but it put us in the middle of a cosmic battle. Put us in the middle of a fight we're all in. Whether we want to be in the fight or not, we're in it. And it is a fight for your soul and mine. It's a fight that Satan and his evil forces are determined to win. It's a fight, I believe, that our culture has joined in. It's a fight to destroy you and to destroy me. And it's a fight with sin. And we were born into the fight. We didn't ask to be in the fight. But we're born into it. And this fight is a cosmic battle. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between God and Satan. The fight we're in, it's not a fight of equals, okay? Satan is inferior. God is more powerful. In fact, we're told one day that God's going to wipe the evil one out. But God allows him to have strength in this world. He allows him to exist so that you and I can make decisions about what side we're going to be on in our lives. In other words, love is not real unless you have a choice to not love. And so this fight between God and Satan is a tough one. And since Satan can't hurt, I want you to listen to this, can't hurt God, he has no power against God. He changed his strategy. And he decided to go after God's children. That's how he could hurt God. If you are a Christian, Satan wants to hurt you. In fact, he hates you. And he wants to do whatever he can to mess you up, to destroy you, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your family, your career, your finances, your life, because ultimately what he wants to do is trip you up and destroy your soul in the end. And that strategy, I mean, Satan's smart. And just a little heads up, he's smarter than you. And I've kind of got some good news and bad news today. The bad news is you're in the fight. Whether you want to be or not, you're in it. The good news is if you're a Christian, you were born to win that fight. You were born to win that fight. The Apostle John writes the words. He says, greater is the one that is in you. He's talking about the Holy Spirit than the one that's in the world. He's talking about Satan, the evil one. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit's taken up residency inside you. And the Holy Spirit is greater than the evil one. So you do not have to be afraid of Satan, but you do have to be prepared for the fight. You do have to be prepared for it. You must know your enemy. You must know your enemy. That one of the reasons I believe that so many people go around discouraged and defeated in their life is that you don't know who the real enemy is. You know, if I was to ask you, who's responsible for the mess that the world's in? You know, who's responsible for the mess that is in our culture? Who's responsible for the chaos economically and socially, et cetera, et cetera? Who's responsible for that? Some of you would say, well, that's easy. It's the Democrats, you know. It's the Republicans, you know. It's all the parties. Some of you would say, no. It's corporate America. You know, that they've just messed everything up. It's this agenda. It's that agenda. It's media. It's Hollywood. I mean, we go on and on with what we think it is. And I want to tell you, you'd be wrong in every case. That is not the real enemy. You see, the real enemy, Paul talks about it. He goes, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Friends, just because something's spiritual, I want you to think about this, doesn't mean it's good. You see, you got both sides. You've got a good side that is spiritual, and you've got an evil side that's spiritual. And the fight we're in is not a fight of flesh and blood. It is a fight that is spiritual, and there is a lot at stake. Satan's your enemy. Satan's your enemy. And he does not fight fair. In fact, he's kind of subtle. He will suggest things. He will put thoughts in your head. Those thoughts of being depressed, those thoughts of discouragement, those thoughts of fear and worry and sin, they come from the evil one, and you've got to understand that. You've got to understand who the enemy is here. And then you need to understand that you need to suit up for the fight. Paul writes this. He says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. God says, you can go the distance. You can still be standing, even though your life just got rocked. You can still have the victory, even though you may feel beaten today. God wants you to fight from victory, not for victory. You see the difference there? Some of you think you're fighting for victory, but you need to fight from victory. Victory is yours because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, but you've got to prepare. You've got to prepare for it. You know, Paul's writing the book of Ephesians, and I'd encourage you to read the book this week, but he's writing from prison. And Paul was a Roman citizen, so he had appealed his case to Caesar, and so they had transported him to Rome. He's in prison in Rome. He's waiting for his appeal to come up. He is chained to a centurion guard 24/7. Paul is writing this book, and he's writing about how to handle spiritual warfare. And I believe God used the Holy Spirit in that moment, because Paul looks and he sees the centurion, and he's in full armor. And he gets an idea how to communicate. He says, stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. The Roman centurion had a belt. He had a belt on, and so Paul gets thinking, and he goes, you know, that belt would have held them together, would have given them support and stability. And so a Roman centurion, though, a warrior, would always have his belt on. And not only did it give him strength in his core, but he used it to hold his weapons. And so he would have never went anywhere without having it on because he was prepared at any moment to go into battle. Champions in boxing. They wear a belt, something like this. Huh? Huh? This is who I am. You know, I'm a champion. I am ready to defend this. When a boxer wears it in the ring, it's intimidating. You know, I've been in this fight before. I was ready, and I was victorious the last time. In fact, I'm the champ. Friends, as Christians, we are to put on the belt of truth in our lives. It's a belt of integrity that we wear. It gives you stability in life. When your life is not based on the truth of God's word, friends, your core, it's not going to be strong. I mean, sure, you might win a round or two without integrity. But at some point, life is going to knock you, and it will get shaky. And you need to understand, you will not win the fight without integrity, without the truth of God's word in your life. You know, this is a choice, and it's really its core. You can build your life on shifting sands, the latest trends, fads, popularity. Go with the popular opinion out there. But that's going to get really shaky. Or you can build your life on God's truth. Friends, when you wear the belt of truth in your life, when you're living with integrity, it's who you are. What people see is who you are. You know, you need integrity. You need relational integrity. You need moral integrity. You need financial integrity. You need sexual integrity. You need integrity in every single area of your life. And some of you are trying to compartmentalize your life. You're trying to kind of shift it around, go, well, now this is my church life, and this is how I operate, and this is my work life, and, you know, it needs to be different, and here's my sex life, and it's going to be this way, and here's my relational life, and my financial life, and my recreational life. Friends, integrity in every area. You know, integrity comes from the word integer. It means one unit. It means everything in your life, every area of your life should sync up to the same thing. That's integrity. That's truth. It's a belt that says, this is who I am. Some of you want to take the belt on and off. Wear it. No, I'm going to take it off at work because I need to operate this way. I'll put it back on at the end of the day. Friends, integrity gives you stability. God's truth gives you stability. It holds you together in those tough times. You know, when you're in a fight, when you're taking a beating in your life, integrity is what keeps you on your feet. Integrity is what gives you strength. It is the belt that champions wear, and it's a belt that you need in your life. Paul goes on, and he says that we're to put on the body armor of God's righteousness. You know, some translations, it says breastplate there. It's the armor that a centurion would have worn. It's armor that they would have worn to protect the vital organs in their body, especially the heart. A soldier would have never gone into battle without having on the armor. You know, it's kind of the same boxers. Boxers, when they're preparing for a fight, they work out, and they work out their upper body. They work out so that they can develop their upper body so they can take a punch. You know, they just sit and they'll have someone just keep pounding on them so that they can learn to take a punch, so they can build up the strength to handle that. If you can't take a body blow, you can't win the fight. So they learned to protect themselves. They learned to protect themselves. They learned to block punches. They learned to turn to the side so that you don't have an open target when you're getting hit on. Paul, he's talking about God's righteousness. And he says, God's righteousness will protect your heart. It'll keep your motives clear. It'll keep them clean. You know, protecting the heart. The psalmist writes and says, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Friends, some of you are in a fight right now. You need God in the fight. You need to stand in that holy place. You know, who can stand there? Well, he tells us, only those whose hands and hearts are pure. You know, a pure heart means that even when you've done something wrong, inside you wanted to do what was right. You know, a pure heart is even when I've messed up, I regret it because I want to do the God-honoring thing. That's a pure heart. That's a pure heart. You know, Jesus said, you know, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So if you want to be blessed in your marriage, want to be blessed in your family, in your business, in your vocation, in your finances, pick what area you want here, you have got to protect your heart. God will not bless an impure heart. And so it's a real simple question. Is your heart pure? Is your heart pure? See, I believe that the evil one's strategy is really simple. He will promise you all kinds of things. He'll promise you power. He'll promise you wealth. He'll promise you pleasure and prestige and happiness. And so what he does is very strategically, he takes shots at you. You know, he uses movies and books and songs and philosophies and pornography, and he uses all this stuff. And what he's hoping is that maybe he can land a punch in your life because he's trying to get to your heart. In fact, he wants to pollute your heart. In fact, the evil one will even take and give you successes in life. Give you praise, give you applause, so that you'll think you're on your own and you can do it on your own, and so you'll quit relying on God. See, he's very subtle, very subtle. If you do not keep your heart pure, you'll lose the fight. It does not take a lot of talent to win the fight, but you have to have a pure heart. Not a perfect heart, a pure heart. Satan fears the person that has a pure heart in their lives. He's afraid of that. The centurion, he would have had on special shoes. They were hobnails in the bottom of the shoes. In other words, there were nails that stuck out the bottom. I think we call them cleats today, but it would have been something like that. No soldier would have went into battle in flip-flops, okay? They just wouldn't have. Paul says, your shoes represent peace. He goes, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from God's good, comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. You know, boxers, they have special shoes. They're real lightweight, so you can float like a butterfly, you know. And they've got bottoms on them, and it grips. I mean, it grips hard and well, so that you don't slip, so that you don't fall, you know, so that you're able to very skillfully and quickly move around. You know, if you're going to stand spiritually in your life, so that you don't slip, so that you don't stumble, so that you don't fall, you got to have shoes of peace in your life, Paul's saying. You've got to have these shoes of peace, peace that comes from the good news of Jesus Christ, peace that comes from knowing that God wants the very best for you, peace that comes from knowing that God has a plan in your life. When you lack peace, your feet get heavy. It makes it really difficult to move around. You don't have the freedom to navigate like you need to through whatever you're facing, whatever the struggle and the battle is. If you're going to stand strong in life, you're going to stand strong during those storms in your life, you need peace. Peace is what keeps you moving. You know, Paul, he talks a lot, when you read through Scripture, he talks a lot about peace. And most of the time, Paul talks about kind of three levels of peace. He says you need peace with God. You need to get that right. You need peace with yourself. And then you need peace with everyone else. Jesus gave it and said, we call it the great commandment, but he says, love God with all your heart. Love your neighbors as yourself. So he's talking about peace on all those fronts. We are to put on shoes of peace. We are to stand in a place of peace. In other words, if we've got a conflict in our lives, we need to go deal with it and take care of it. Otherwise, you are opening yourself up to Satan's attack. He'll use that against you. You know, because peace is possible, but it's possible because of Jesus Christ. I'm able to have peace with God because of that. I'm able to have peace with you. And I'm able to have peace with myself. I mean, that allows me, when I have peace, I can stand strong in whatever I'm going through. It gives me sure footing for my life. Some of you desperately need peace in your life. Part of the reason you're losing the fight that you're in is because there's no peace. Can't rest. Not pursuing peace. You're just anxious and worried and angry and irritable. You need peace. And friends, peace is something only God can give you. Only God can give you. It gives you somewhere to stand. I mean, how do you get it? Well, the psalmist, Psalm 119, 165, says, those who love your law have great peace. Nothing causes them to stumble. Friends, the more you love God's laws, God's ways, the more sure-footed you become. You know, the more you love God's ways, the less troubled you are by what happens to you. You know, the more you love God's ways, the less you are bothered by what other people think or say about you. You know, the more you love God's ways, the less you are interested in getting even or holding a grudge, the less you worry. Why? Because you trust God. And you trust God's ways, and you trust God's laws. They give you a foundation. They give you peace. Friends, the evil one wants to take that from you. See, he knows that if he can take it from you, if he can take your peace away, he can put you back on your heels, and he can leave you staggering in your life. You know, Paul goes on, Ephesians 6:16. He says, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Shield, a shield of faith. I mean, every centurion would have carried his shield with him. He carried it so that he could protect himself when someone was attacking him. He was saying, you know what? There are fiery arrows that the devil's going to throw at you. You need a shield of faith. You know, when you're in the ring and you're fighting, and you need to be able to deflect the punches that are thrown at you. You need to block them. You need to be able to bob and weave and guard yourself, do whatever you can to keep him from attacking. That's the image that Paul's given us here. He says, if you have that shield of faith, it allows you to fight with certainty. Why? Because you trust the promises of God. even when things go wrong. You trust God. You trust that as Satan delivers his blows, as you're dealing with whatever the situation and you're battling, you trust God's promises. You trust that God will see you through whatever it is that you're going through. When I was a teenager, I used to have a poster on my wall that said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And I thought about that, and the fact is, it really should just say, if God says it, that settles it. Because if God says something, whether I believe it or not, it's true. You know, what God says about forgiveness is true whether I believe it or not. What God says about sex is true whether I believe it or not. What God says about money, it's true whether I believe it or not. See, God's promises are true through and through. And even when I'm in a fight and I'm not seeing them happen, they're still true. I'm waiting on them. When you're in that fight, the evil one's hitting, throwing those fiery shots at you. He's going to hit you with things like doubt. He's going to get in your ear. Did God really say that? I mean, can God really be trusted? And we start doubting. And then he's going to hit you with the jab of discouragement. You know, this is never going to happen. You will never change. Why try? And friends, he's going to keep pounding you and pounding you and pounding you. Friends, when things happen in your life, you need certainty. You need certainty. I mean, we live in an uncertain time. A lot of things up in the air these days. We need certainty more than ever so we can stand strong. You know, for instance, you're getting hit with doubt. You know, you should doubt your doubts is what you should do. A lot of Christians believe their doubts. And they doubt their beliefs. Friends, we've got to turn it around. When you do that, what happens is you open your life up to Satan attacking you. As soon as you start doubting, well, I don't know if God really means that. I don't know if God's word's true. I'm not sure about this one. Friends, you've got to believe what God says. You need that shield of faith in your life. You need it, especially during the tough times. You know, Scripture says without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's a nice way of saying, it's really important. You know, trust God no matter what you're feeling. You know, trust God no matter what your eyes are seeing. Trust God no matter what you're hearing. Shield of faith, certainty. He goes on, he says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Again, the centurion would have worn a helmet. And it was to protect his head. It was to protect his head so that he'd wear that helmet so that if he got hit in the head, it wouldn't knock him out, wouldn't kill him maybe. It was protection. You know, these gloves, normally offensive weapon, right? But they're also a defensive weapon. You know, boxers use them, they protect themselves. They cover up. They deflect blows. Paul's talking about protect your mind, guard it. Be on the offense in that sense to be able to get rid of the blows. Defend your mind from what? From evil thoughts. Defend from the negative stuff that gets in your head. Defend against those fiery shots that we just talked about. If you're going to fight, if you're going to win that fight over doubt or over discouragement or being depressed, you've got to control your thoughts. You've got to protect your mind. I mean, it's imperative. How do you protect it? Well, salvation. You know, we talked a lot about this, and David, in his message, talked about as a Christian, when you put on salvation, when you became a Christian, you got a new mind, a new nature, we talked about. I mean, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you don't have much protection against the evil one, against Satan in your life. You just don't. I mean, Satan is not afraid of you. He's not afraid of your words. He's afraid of God's word. He's not afraid of your thoughts, but he is afraid of God's thoughts. Salvation begins the process of protecting my mind. And we talked a lot about this, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I am very troubled by what people allow into their minds these days. You know, the stuff we read, stuff we watch, the stuff we click and view. You know, someone said it's a drug with a plug, you know. It's destroying people. I mean, there's good stuff out there. There's some stuff that's just fluff. It doesn't amount to anything. And then there's stuff that is just bad for your mind. It destroys your mind. You can't choose what happens to you. Whatever fight you're in today, you may not have had a choice. But you can choose what you think about. You can choose what you focus on in your life. You know, Philippians 4:8 says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what? On what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." He's saying, we need to protect our minds. That's a good rule of thumb. Does it fit into any of these? If what I'm thinking about, is it honorable? Is it right? And as you begin to focus on those good things, you protect your mind. You protect your integrity. You protect your purity. You protect your peace in life. There's one more thing. You're going to win the fight? You got to be mature. You've got to be mature. Maturity, it's not just knowing the Bible. It's being obedient to the Bible. It's being obedient to God. And it's knowing how to use God's word, how to use the Bible in your life. You know, the fact is, we need to be using God's word to defend and to fight with. It says, Paul writes this, he says, "You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training," catch that, "who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." Maturity is knowing the Bible well enough. It's embedding it in us in such a way that when you get an idea, when you're faced with a situation, when you have a thought, when you're up against a challenge, you're able to go, you know what? That's not godly. That's not God. That's not right. I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that. Or this is what I should do because I know what God would have me do. As you mature, friends, you become more efficient and effective at spotting right from wrong. You train yourself. You develop those skills. You work at it so that when you're in a situation, you can spot something and go, you know what, that's right, that's wrong. And you're able to, you know it when you see it. Paul says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Sword. Centurion. It's his offensive weapon. You know, Paul's saying God's word is an offensive weapon. You know, we are to use God's word and come out swinging with it. You You know, we should know God's word in such a way that we can use it effectively. You know, God's word, when all of a sudden we're going after the evil one, we're going to change the fight a little bit. No longer is he coming at me, but I can come at him. You know, it's part of expanding the kingdom. It's part of fighting the good fight. It's beginning to leverage God's word in such a way that you're able to say, you know what? I will stand my ground now. You are not getting my marriage. You cannot have my family. My business will be God honoring. My work will be worship. You're not going to get my mind. I belong to God. I'm going to fight. You know, Satan, you prepare yourself to get cut because I am standing on God's word and I know what God has to say on all those topics. And you just begin to embed them. He goes on. He says, indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joint from marrow, is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Friends, the Bible's a weapon. Do you ever think about that? But it is not a weapon until you know it, until you begin to memorize some of it, till you begin to train with it and embed it in your heart. Then it becomes effective. Then it becomes efficient. Then you can protect yourself, defend yourself, go on the offensive. You've got to put all of this stuff on so that you're prepared for the fight, so you can fight the good fight. You know, it's putting on the whole armor of God. You know, we've talked about a lot of different fights throughout this series. And what I know is that some of you, you're in a fight right now. I've had a lot of discussion with people over the last few weeks. And you're fighting hard fights. And I know some of you, maybe you're just in the early rounds. But some of you have been fighting a long time. And you've been taking a beating. Some of you are tired. Some of you are exhausted. In fact, if truth were known, some of you are ready to throw the towel in. And I'm sure there's some that you're not even sure you could take another punch. You know, you're down for the count. You're not sure if you can even get up. And friends, however big or small your fight is, what I want to do is invite you just to stand up where you're at. If you're in a fight and you want me to pray for you, to just stand where you're at, and I'm not going to do anything weird or strange. I just want to pray for you. So if you're in a fight this morning, stand up where you are and let me pray for you this morning. Let's bow in prayer. God, you see the folks before you. And God, I know you know the fight they're in. You know the battle they're up against. And God, they may not see a way through, but God, I pray your Holy Spirit would just touch them, that they would know that you are going through. You will see them through, that you'll give them the strength, that they can get up, that this is not the end. The best days are not behind them, but in front of them. God, I pray that your spirit would just encourage them, that they'd quit listening to the world, quit listening to the evil one that wants to tell them they're beaten, they're forgotten. God, I pray that you would just ignite them with strength and power to be able to keep pushing through. And even if they can't see it, even if they can't hear it, even though it may be dark, that you just give them a glimpse that new day's ahead. God, I pray that you pull along a brother or sister to be a voice of encouragement. God, I know there are those here today that they would stand and give testimony to all the fights you've seen them through. God, I'm humbled. All the times that I didn't have enough strength, you were there. When I couldn't get up, you picked me up. And God, we just praise you and we thank you for that. We give you the glory this day and every day. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to share in music a song called The Well. And I would just challenge you to think about the fight you're in right now. Think about what God might want to say to you through this song.